Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This half hour, we want to talk about a growing problem that you might not even be aware of unless you or a loved one has diabetes. More than 30 million people in the U.S. have diabetes, and one in four of them don't even know they have it. We want to explore how the steep increase in pricing for insulin is impacting Iowans with diabetes. If you'd like to join our conversation, if you've been impacted by the price climb, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Let's start off by talking with Allison Bailey. Allison is U.S. Advocacy Manager with TI International and the chapter leader here in Iowa of Insulin for All. Allison, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about T1 International and Insulin for All.
Sure. So T1 International is a small nonprofit out of the U.K. They started the Insulin for All movement as a campaign in 2014, and it's actually grown into a movement across the United States. The chapters started last year with the Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana chapter, and then also the Iowa chapter came later in the year. So T1 International provides the chapters with resources, and we don't take any money from pharmaceutical companies or any other company that would just take away from our message. So,
start by giving us some background on this steep rise in the cost of insulin here in the U.S. When did it rise? What caused it?
So it's been kind of a gradual thing. Analog insulin, such as Humalog, came out in 1996. And since that time, there's been a 1,200% increase in price. There have been studies. There was a recent study that actually showed that the price doubled between 2012 and 2016.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us some dollar figures per month or per year for someone with diabetes? You have diabetes.
Yes, I have had type 1 diabetes for 19 years. So it varies from person to person. One vial is roughly about $300 per vial if you don't have insurance. That's the list price. So for me, one of the last times I went into the pharmacy to buy insulin for myself, had I not had insurance, the price would have been $2,379.99.
Wow.
And that was for 7 vials of insulin. So.
And so people like you, and I said 30 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Some don't even know they have it. Mm-hmm. So there are millions of people feeling the impact that you just described on yourself.
Yes. Not all of those people, of course, are insulin dependent. Type 1 diabetics, which is the focus of T1 International, all type 1 diabetics have to be on insulin. Around 30% of people with type 2s have to be on insulin.
Okay. Once again, if this is something that touches your life and you're listening to Allison Bailey, this conversation, join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Joining us now also by phone, Janelle Luchin is the mother of a young man who died in February of 2018 at the age of 32 after rationing his insulin. Jesse Luchin was his name, died in February of 2018. Janelle Luchin, welcome to the program. Our condolences. Thank you for sharing this painful part of your life to bring attention to this story, Janelle.
Thank you.
When was your son first diagnosed with diabetes?
He was diagnosed at age 12 in 1996.
In 96. And his diabetes was managed well with insulin for how long? What was it like managing his diabetes with insulin?
Well, when he was home with us and on my plan, it was not an issue at all. His insulin supplies were relatively inexpensive. He had troubles later on in different parts of his life, and he has had help through the Crescent Health Center in Dubuque. And at one time he was getting some of his insulin through the manufacturer, and then he went to work at a full-time job that had insurance.
So he,
and I believe he did it right then.
Mm-hmm. So as long as he had insurance, either through you or through his own job, he was fine. But he lost his job, right? And his health insurance?
Yes, he lost his job in November 2017.
Mm-hmm. How did you, was that an immediate worry for you, for Jesse at that time, not only losing a job, but losing a lifeline to insulin?
Well, he had, I wasn't aware that he was having problems getting his insulin. And that was one of my concerns after he died, was why didn't he come to me?
Mm.
And then when I realized how expensive insulin was, I realized that that was a pretty hard thing to ask your parents for that kind of money.
Mm-hmm. $300 a vial if you don't have insurance, yeah.
Right.
How did you put the pieces of this together after his death, the pieces that told you the circumstances that led to your son's death?
Well, after he died and we went in to clean out his place because he was living on his own, there wasn't any insulin there. And by his bed, there were empty vials of Lantus that I had brought back from Washington State. I have a longtime friend that lives out there, and a nurse had passed away, and she had given me those vials, and I brought them back and gave them to him. At the time, he had his insurance, but I brought him back anyway, not realizing that that had added days to his life.
Mm-hmm. That must have been a horrible feeling to put that together and figure out.
Yes, it was.
Who, if anybody, do you blame for your son's death?
Partially insurance. I know he went to look for insurance on the Obamacare website, and it would have cost him $300 a month, but he would have had to pay out of pocket for his insulin until he reached the deductible, which was $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of it is why these insulin manufacturers are charging so much for life-sustaining medication.
Right. Janelle Luchin, please stay with us. Let's go back to Allison Bailey. When you hear that tragic story, Allison, what's your reaction?
Well, it definitely makes me want to act and do more. Unfortunately, Jesse's death has not been the only death that we've seen in the type 1 diabetes community from rationing. There was another death of a type 1 diabetic in Minnesota, and his mother, Nicole Holt Smith, has been very vocal and also trying to get some legislation passed there. So it's our hope that we would get some legislation passed in Iowa, but also across the U.S. that would help patients and prevent tragedies like Jesse's death from ever happening again.
Mm-hmm. You're supporting, advocating for bills that were in the last session. Tell us about those bills in the last session of the Iowa legislature.
Okay, so HF 700 and SF 291, House File and Senate File, that is, they were based on a law called Kevin's Law, which also was Kevin Houdeshell died in 2014 from rationing insulin when he was unable to get a hold of his doctor during a holiday weekend, and his prescription was actually expired. So after his death, his family started advocating for emergency prescription refill legislation that would allow pharmacists to use their discretion to refill expired prescriptions. Iowa actually already had something like that in place since, I believe, 1987, but it was only for about a 72-hour supply. So we were trying to get it extended to about 30 days because, for one thing, insulin isn't packaged in 72-hour quantities. And, yeah, it just would have helped a lot of patients potentially.
Why did it fail to make it through the legislature?
So the Iowa bill had an insurance mandate attached that, despite the fact that it was actually passed initially unanimously in the House and then unanimously in the Senate with this insurance mandate amendment, when it went back to the House, it ended up failing because I guess there was quite a bit of lobbying against the insurance mandate.
So this is the pharma companies?
Actually, the insurance companies.
The insurance companies.
Yeah.
Okay. Explain that a little bit more as you understand it, because I understand it just a few companies make most of the insulin, this hormone, in our synthetic hormone here in our country, right?
Yeah. There are three companies that actually manufacture 90% of the world supply, Eli Lilly, Novo Nordisk, and Sanofi. And and then steadily the prices on this analog insulin have been increasing. Analog insulin also kind of mimics the body's natural reaction to food a bit better than human insulin does. And human insulin has also been in the news lately because that's the stuff that's available for about $25 at Walmart. But it doesn't work quite as well for a lot of people. And for type 1 diabetics, it can cause serious hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar.
Mm-hmm. Senator Grassley has been investigating this price hike. What have you yielded from that? What has been yielded from this investigation thus far?
So far, we don't know much about what the investigation has found. We do definitely appreciate that he has been, investigating this because it's a very serious, thing for all of us with type 1 diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about the pricing of insulin, tying it into why this raise. Is it well understood to you as someone who's very close to it, how the pricing makes sense or doesn't?
So it's actually kind of this. So in these hearings that have taken place in several committees in the U.S. House and Senate, they've brought in insurance companies, pharmaceutical benefit managers, and the pharmaceutical companies, and they all have a tendency to point fingers at one another. Meanwhile, the actual pricing and why it happens the way it does is very opaque, and it's very difficult to actually know what's going on, which is why one of the things that we're hoping to get passed in Iowa and across the United States is transparency legislation, which would give us a better idea of what's actually going on and causing the prices to be priced in this way.
Mm-hmm. Walk us through a little bit more in detail the timeline of these price rises. Way back in the 1990s is when it started?
So the 1990s are when Humalog first came out, which is Eli Lilly's analog fast-acting insulin. So that started at around $20 or $26, I believe, that you would have paid list price across the counter in 1996 when it came out. Steadily since then, it's been increasing. Like I said earlier, it's been a 1,200% increase since then. Between 2001 and 2015 alone, the price increased 585%. And between 2012 and 2016, the average out-of-pocket for patients with type 1 diabetes nearly doubled from $2,900 to $5,700.
And with these step ups in price, are there justifications accompanying them, or just simply it's going to cost more?
It's usually, just that it's going to cost more. It has been interesting to see that there was a study that I believe Business Insider released that showed that a lot of the prices were actually increasing in lockstep with one another. So,
So you can draw your own conclusions there.
Yes.
What about other states? It didn't no law to hopefully remedy this. Didn't make it through the Iowa legislature this year. Are other states passing such new laws?
Well, there have been a few promising laws out there. One in Minnesota was the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Bill, but unfortunately, despite widespread support, that actually did not make it through. One that a lot of people have been discussing recently was in Colorado. They did a price capping legislation. But unfortunately, with the Colorado price capping legislation, It actually offsets the, it caps the price at $100, but then it offsets the rest of that cost to insurance companies. And that's actually probably going to cause people's insurance premiums to go up. So it's not really addressing the problem, and it also doesn't help people who don't have insurance. So we really need something that's going to address these expensive list prices and help bring those down.
Mm-hmm. Can we learn anything from going outside the U.S. to other countries?
Certainly. In Colorado and in Mexico, it is much less expensive, and you can actually buy it across the counter without a prescription. So in Canada, you can go and get a vial for about $40. And actually recently, T1 International's Minnesota Insulin for All chapter went on a caravan to Canada just so they could buy insulin up there for much less of the cost. So,
And presumably, the pharmaceutical companies are making money even at that price, or it wouldn't be on the market.
Yeah, actually, a study showed that a vial of most analog insulins actually cost between $3.69 and $6.16 to manufacture.
Back to you, Janelle Luchin, before the hour gets away from us. You lost your son to diabetes, but more important for this conversation, he had to ration his insulin and ran out of his insulin. You found out about it after his death. What do you hope will be changed? What do you hope sharing this story of your loss will change?
Well, I'm hoping that we can find a way to make insulin more affordable for everyone. I don't think that we should have to go across the border to Canada or Mexico to be able to afford a life-sustaining drug like insulin. I feel that it's my duty to share Jesse's story and hope that it's a part of the answer.
Mm-hmm. What feedback have you been getting when you've shared your story about your son's death? What reaction do you get?
I have had people tell me that they worry about whether if they lose their job and their insurance, are they going to be able to afford their insulin?
Mm-hmm. Allison Bailey, as we mentioned earlier, you have had, when were you diagnosed with type 1 diabetes?
I was 12 years old when I was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. So take us a little bit inside your experience there as someone who has diabetes, and you're dependent on insulin, right? Are there any other cures, dietary things, anything you can do other than buy insulin?
No, insulin is something that I need either access to through shots or through an insulin pump all day, every day, basically.
Mm-hmm. What is it like when you don't have that, or do you even get close to that?
So hyperglycemia, which is when the blood sugar starts going high, it's pretty awful. And then also patients often end up going into diabetic ketoacidosis, which is generally what ends up ending their lives, which is basically that your blood becomes acidic and your organs start shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
So I have luckily never been in diabetic ketoacidosis, but it's something that's scary for a lot of patients. And I at one time was struggling to pay for insulin myself because it was about $500 for me at one point for a month and a half supply. And I had to ask my doctor for free samples. So knowing that it's really dependent on whether or not I have insurance is pretty scary.
Mm-hmm. What are your hopes for the next legislative session on this issue?
In general, in Iowa and on the U.S. level, I just hope that transparency legislation, price capping legislation, just anything to actually help patients. According to a study, again, by Arnold Ventures, it actually shows that most voters identify the cost of healthcare as the top issue that Congress should be concentrating on. So across the board, on both sides of the aisle, this is something that people care about pretty much more than any other issue. And so actually seeing movement on it would be just important to everyone and invaluable to those of us who depend on these sorts of drugs to survive.
Tens of millions of people in the U.S. have diabetes, undoubtedly thousands listening now with themselves having diabetes or a loved one. Who can people contact, or how can people find out more, perhaps find out more about Insulin for All?
So T1 International, which is T1International.com, we head up 28 Insulin for All chapters that cover 30 states in Washington, D.C., and we have more chapters starting up. So if you go to T1International.com, or you can search for your state and then hashtag insulin, the number 4ALL, and most of our chapters are on Facebook and Twitter, and all these chapters are just advocating for insulin legislation on the state level and on the national level as well.
Mm-hmm. And what action would you hope from people?
Just that they, you know, join the chapters or just find out more about how they can advocate to help get prices down. We have a lot of resources to help people get in contact with their legislators and know how to advocate.
Okay, thank you very much. Allison Bailey has been with us, U.S. Advocacy Manager with T1 International, chapter leader in Iowa of Insulin for All. Thank you for joining us, Allison.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much, Janelle Luchin, joining us by phone, the mother of Jesse Luchin, who died last year, an Iowan with diabetes. He died at the age of 32 after rationing his insulin. Janelle, thank you very much for sharing this painful story to make people more aware of this issue.
Thank you for having me.
River to River is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Emily Woodbury. Help today also from Camus Leeson. In Ames, Sean McLean helped us out. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. And make sure you know that River to River is available as a podcast. Just subscribe to River to River using your favorite podcast app. You can go to iowapublicradio.org or download our IPR app. It's a good way not to miss River to River or to share this discussion with others in your life. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.